to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
See, you can see I'm not available for use anymore. You can see the well's dried up, and you just take off.
I'll tell you what's happening. All the older men are going for younger women, leaving the women with no one.
Disloyal, so weak.
Bed bugs are a terrible situation.
The surge is not working.
Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we'll take you anywhere to find that, even through the looking glass, as we do each and every night here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com. Tonight's show you're listening to right now will be available for download tomorrow. You can download it right onto your iPod if you missed it. If you got to go to bed early, thank you, Bud. Bud Dickman with me and Robert Leonard. If you got to go to bed early, then you can.
Go to bed early. Next day, you go over and get it.
Next day, you go over to the website and get it, exactly. And then starting on Monday, we begin our podcast so that each and every show is available to our Backstage Pass members by way of iTunes. And for those of you that may not be subscribers, you can listen to some archival podcasts that we're going to place on the on iTunes every so often as well. So we want you to get at least a good feel, a good sampling of the show if you're new to the show. And if you are a fan, go over and be a part of the family at philhendryshow.com. So Mel Gibson is a mental case. This guy gets so tiring. Listening to him becomes fatiguing. He is so full of rage. And even though, as I've said often, that I understand this guy's anger, I hope you got it out of your system there, brother. It turns out that all of these phone calls that we've played for you occurred over the course of just one day. This was just him calling back, him telling her to pick up, him leaving messages, him getting into it on the phone with her. Mel Gibson called Oksana Grigoryeva 30 times. 30 times after she left him the night of February the 18th, according to RadarOnline.com. Eight of the, quote, terrorizing calls, end quote, resulted in insane voicemails with phrases such as effing disloyal and effing weak and such an effing slut and lowlife slut peppered throughout. In one two-minute voicemail, he drops the F-bomb 23 times. A source familiar with the case told Radar Online that Mel called Oksana repeatedly between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. with the goal of keeping her up all night. Just making sure you're awake if you're trying to sleep, because I'm awake, and you deserve to be, he said in a voicemail, and don't ever sleep again. Don't sleep as long as I don't sleep. The day began peacefully enough with a placenta ceremony outside of Mel's Malibu mansion, according to TMZ. What the hell is that?
Is that like afterbirth?
I don't know. What does that mean? Mel and Oksana had buried their baby daughter's placenta in the backyard and were watching as the gardener planted a tree in Lucia's honor. What the hell is that?
Yeah, I guess a lot of movie stars plant afterbirth.
A lot of movie stars plant afterbirth?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, for crying out loud. In any event, so they planted the afterbirth. Oksana reportedly smiled at the gardener, sending Mel into a jealous rage, and things went downhill from there. You know, I just find the whole thing, of course I like listening to it, and we've got a bunch of other, you know, tapes to play for you here, but the whole thing becomes rather, you know, you realize you're eavesdropping in on a situation that's very sad and it's very volatile, and we've all been there in one way or another, or we've heard of people who've been there, and it's not anything that's very pretty, and it's a lot of stuff that you would rather take back if you heard it again, and you wouldn't want to be heard publicly doing it, and so on and so forth. I just hasten to add. All right. Here are about two short voicemails that Gibson left for Oksana Grigoryeva that we've sort of just edited together.
I called. Answer the phone.
God, what a weird ass man. What a weird ass. Listen to this again. I don't want to hear it again. All right, here he is. In this voicemail, Gibson claims to know her, quote, M.O.
See, you can see I'm not available for use anymore. You can see the well's dried up, and you just take off. You just leave. You just take off because I'm finished for you, right? Because I can't give anymore, right, to your personal cause.
click. But he called back. In this call, Gibson leaves another voicemail with a series of F-bombs.
Disloyal, a weak, blind, thankless, such a slut. Don't ever sleep again. Don't sleep as long as I don't sleep. Don't sleep. Get sick. Me up. You have me up. You have me up. You me up. Did nothing but help you, and you on me like a low-life slut, which is now what I'm convinced you are. I'm angry at you for the wasted time. I'm angry at you for the waste of my time. You, the ordinary.
I don't know what happened. He says something in there about the, of course, that call was worthless. It was just a lot of F, which would have been fun to hear. If we play that next to the Tommy Lasorda saying, I'm the manager of the effing team. Nonetheless, I don't know what happened when he said, I thought the very key thing there was that you're a rat sinking, leaving a sinking ship. So there must be some money problems going on. And it's and that's a tough one to hear because this cat made a lot of bread. I think he got a. Jason and I were trying to do the math on the Passion of the Christ, which was $800 million. That's what we heard his piece of that was. But then you know we could be wrong. I don't know. And what kind of financial problems he has, I have no idea. But when I'm thinking, listen to that, she said to him this and this, and he said, you know, I don't really have the money for that, or we don't really have the money for that, or, you know, we're not going to be able to do it. And they got into an argument. He probably perceived that she was making fun of him, and out she goes. But that's a cat that obviously needs to have some pills put into his you know, cereal in the morning. And he'll be fine, Mel. Because, like I said, this is not an unusual thing. There's a lot of guys that have had that kind of anger. I understand it. I don't excuse it. I don't think it's pretty. I don't think it's nice. I don't think it's right. But it exists, and it's about a guy who feels like he's been, you know, cheated, taken advantage of. That's not sadness there. That's not a guy whose heart is breaking. That's not a guy whose heart is breaking. That's a guy who's pissed off. He feels like he's losing a lot, and he's going to lose a lot more with this chick in his life because she's about to hit him with God knows what kind of financial demands. And he can't, you know, he can't take that because he's already giving half to his ex, Robin, and I'm sure that leaves him with a nice piece of change. I mean, look at, even if he was giving half to his ex, Robin, and she was getting $400 million of that $800, that leaves a significant amount for Oksana, doesn't it? But maybe Gibson isn't that kind of guy. I don't know. But there you go. That's the latest in the Mel Gibson saga.
What if he winds up? I was just thinking about what if he winds up like killing himself or something?
Yeah, what if he jump off a building or something?
If Mel Gibson were to commit suicide, that would be the bitter end, man. I mean, that would probably be logical. I don't know.
But if he commits suicide, that'd be make a lot of people feel better, I'll tell you that much.
Would it really, huh? Well,
get out. I mean, you know. He sounds like he's cracking up.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like he's got both oar in the water. He sounds like he's all in a heap.
Well, maybe he is cracking up. Like I said, that guy needs some pills, man. Some people need to give him pills.
Well, what kind?
I don't know what kind. He does. He sounds like a guy that could easily snap. He could beat the crap out of somebody or waste himself or something. I don't know. What kind? He's obviously depressed. 877-876-PHIL. Elizabeth Hasselbeck from The View has a theory as to why older women go lesbian, plus unhealthy state fair food. 877-876-PHIL. This is like state fair time. I don't know if you go to the state fair. I've only been to two or three. I've been to three state fairs in my entire life. And
what do you think?
It was, you know, it's fine. It's not my thing. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You all like win a blue ribbon?
Phil Hendry Show.
Did I win a blue ribbon? No, I didn't win it. What is that supposed to mean?
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL and online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And we do have this one added extra little story here from Radar Online. Leonardo DiCaprio is withdrawing from a Mel Gibson-directed flick about Vikings in the wake of the domestic abuse scandal, according to the website. And this is an exclusive. Not a chance, said a source close to the Inception star when asked if he was still planning to star in Gibson's next project. Not a chance. The decision is a major setback for the Oscar-winning actor-director, who is facing allegations of domestic abuse and child endangerment. It also lends support to critics who are suggesting Mel won't be able to recover from the Oksana Grigorieva scandal. He'll recover. Don't worry about it. Oksana, it's not so much that. It's the whole N-word thing, man. That's the thing that he could have beaten her to death. I'm kidding. No, he couldn't have.
I bet you could have, though.
No way, man.
I bet you.
No, he's not going to. Oksana, age 40, has accused Gibson, 54, of punching her in the face twice as she held their infant daughter, Lucia, during a domestic dispute at his Malibu mansion in January. After allegedly hitting Oksana on the head and mouth, she has claimed Mel then choked her. Detectives from the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department Detective Division are investigating the allegation, along with Mel's claim that Oksana tried to extort him with threats of scandal. Mel was interviewed on Sunday but refused to answer questions about the incident, citing his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. This past Sunday? Really? Mel's profane-laced rants recorded by Oksana and obtained by Radar Online are laced with racial slurs, including the N-word and demands for repeated sexual favors. The Viking film was to be DiCaprio's first picture with Mel Gibson. A source close to DiCaprio said the star was currently basking in the release of his wildly acclaimed box office-topping movie Inception did not want to risk his reputation with being associated with Mel Gibson. Boy, that's good of you there, Leonardo. Well, I guess I can't blame the guy.
Well, what's going to happen to the guy?
Yeah, I was going to say, what? So he's in a movie with a guy. What does that mean? Like he's in favor of beating up ladies or something?
Well, I do not. It's not that. It's the N-word thing.
Yeah, you know, I'm black. I mean, I get it. You know. You know, I know he probably don't like black people, but then he'd been in a movie with black people. I think he just said what he said. You know.
Well, all right. You said that. Probably the people that got the bigger problem with Mel Gibson aren't black people. It's white people.
I believe that.
So, in other words, you think he's getting a bad deal?
I'm not saying he's getting a bad deal, but I'm thinking if you're going to make a movie. And Leonardo DiCaprio not going to do the movie with him. Why? Because they use the N-word, or because he don't think it's good, you know?
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio, he's a baby. He's being a baby about it. He ought to do the movie. It could be a baby.
What do you mean being a baby about it? He's probably getting some career advice. They said, look, distance yourself from this guy. And he said, oh, I guess I should, because, you know, the N-word this, and he beat the woman up that, and you can listen to what a psycho this guy is. It's probably just not cool. I don't know. If the guy was his friend, I would probably say, geez, why don't you stick with your friend? But maybe he doesn't know this guy from Adam. You know what I'm saying?
Well, are you saying if he's his friend, he ought to do it?
I'm saying if that was a friend of mine, if that Mel Gibson was a friend of mine, he asked me to be in his movie, I'd be in his movie, yeah.
Oh, my God, man. Everybody thinks you want to beat a baby.
Yep. No, they wouldn't think that. They wouldn't know that I want, because I want to be in a movie with a guy that smacked a lady holding a kid, that I want to beat a baby up.
That they may think that.
Oh, well, then they're idiots. Anyway, Leo has earned the right to pick. Oh, who is this ass that was talking for Leonardo DiCaprio? Sounds like a real jackball. Or in the words of Arlie Ermey that I heard the other day in that commercial, a real jackwagon.
I heard that, yeah.
Anyway, according to this source that Radar Online was talking to, he said, quote, Leo has earned the right to pick and choose who he works with, and Mel Gibson is not one of them, the source said, while drinking on Radar Online's tab. The as-yet-untitled project is being produced by Graham King and Mel's Icon Pictures. Variety, the trade publication previously reported DiCaprio had long been fascinated by Viking culture. Yeah, that he has been. And the...
Well, what does that mean?
Never mind. And
oh, you're trying to say... Oh, okay. I know what you're saying.
No, you don't know what I'm saying. Forget it. And anyway, he's long been fascinated by Viking culture and was supposed to play play a Viking in a storyline that will be as unsparing as Mel's other period directing efforts, Braveheart, The Passion of the Christ, and Apocalypto. Hmm. Before, well, so what does it show? A lot of Viking rape scenes?
Probably.
Great. Before DiCaprio's withdrawal, shooting was slated to begin in the fall of 2010. Comment is being sought from DiCaprio, which, of course, you know you will never get as long as you live Radar Online. So there you go. Now, I wanted to tell you about Elizabeth Hasselbeck, but I'm having a difficult time finding out. I have the story. Believe me, I've got the story, but I don't want to keep fumbling for it. Oh, here we have. Well, we can do that, but there's also the State Fair thing that I wanted to let you guys know about.
Well, they got the deep-fried Snicker bars, all I was worried about. I mean, other than that, I don't stay away from anything.
Yeah, that's the only thing you're worried about?
Man, you got to worry about something. That food's bad, you know.
And you know what, bud? You can make fun of how fat I am, man, but you ain't exactly slim pack. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I'm saying I'll stay away from the Snicker.
The deep-fried Snickers bar, man, you got to have to stay away from a hell of a lot more than that. Anyway, The View host Elizabeth Hasselbeck's lesbian theory, older women just couldn't get a man. Well, there you go. Now, that Ms. Hasselbeck, as respected as you are, ma'am, and I would never want to tell you that you don't know your own mind, but that theory about older women go lesbian because they can't get men anymore because the men go after younger women, that's about, probably a few thousand years old. And it ain't any truer today than it was back when the Pharaoh was kicking it around for laughs. But anyway, Elizabeth Hasselbeck thinks a lot of older lesbians would have turned out straight if they could only land a man. How does she know that? Well, we don't want to say, but it has something to do with her tennis club membership. Now, on The View, Elizabeth Hasselbeck offers a theory on why older women are turning lesbian.
Tell you what's happening. All the older men are going for younger women, leaving the women with no one.
Oh.
That's why they're suddenly sleeping with women? That's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
Well,
I don't mean that you're...
So there's a
I'm
rise,
saying, you're searching
though.
For
I don't
mean someone to be rude, of people-like but... level intelligence.
Then what does that say about me?
If the men are evacuating for these younger
well,
women...
As soon as you go to get another woman, we'll know what about you.
Don't do that.
No, you act like women are in jail. We're not in jail.
You're searching for a companion that understands you. And if all the men who are, say you had, were in heterosexual relationships,
uh-huh.
You're looking for that. But the men who are of your age have had similar experience.
Being,
that will chase in a little
being a lesbian,
one.
Being gay is not just, you know, holding hands and walking through the tulips.
Are you gay?
You blew it.
Come on, Hasselbeck. You're hassling me. Are you listening to this woman? And they're all... That was pretty funny. I like Behar's line about, we're not in jail.
Tell you what's happening. All the older men are going for younger women, leaving
are
the women
you gay?
With...
Yeah, she's gay. You know, Elizabeth, anyway, Elizabeth Hasselbeck there on The View. She's always a lot of fun. Those gals are always just... You remember when they... I was just thinking about this the other day. Do you remember the show that...
The one was for guys.
Yeah, the one for guys. What was it called?
Called The Other Side, and it sucked. Man, it sucked more chimpanzee. Man.
It was lousy, man. What happened was, when this show came out, The View, with these guys, and I forget, it's been so long, I forget who was the original cast.
He had Elizabeth Bet.
They didn't have Elizabeth Hasselbeck, man. She was like on, wasn't she on Survivor or something?
Yeah.
They had... What's her face? Elizabeth, or what's her name? Barbara Walters, and a bunch of other people I forget.
They had a lot of fat blacks.
What do you mean they had fat blacks, man?
Well, you know there were blacks. They had a lot of fat blacks.
They had large black, what do you mean fat blacks? Fat black women?
Yeah, man. You know, you're racist, man. Everybody knows that.
No, I just said.
In any event, when the show came on, they tried to do a man's version of it. I'll never forget. It was called The Other Side. God, was it lousy. It was the lousiest thing you ever saw in your life. It basically was a man's show. Well, it wasn't even a man's show. It was nothing that any man would watch because it was four men. One of them was Dick Clark, and Danny Bonaducci was another. And I ain't saying that the panel's bad, but the crap that they talked about had nothing to do with anything. And then you realized, wait a minute, there already is a male version of The View. It's called the Fox NFL Report.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's what the male version of The View is. It's Sunday on Fox with the football and on CBS, everything else. It's called SportsCenter, in other words. All right, State Fair Foods and the State Fair Food Hall of Shame. Just how funky does it get, man? Just how bad does it get? As you know, we talked with you last night about where the ballparks with the worst food. Now, this is some real badass stuff here from the state fair, man. The stuff that, well, you can eat it because it tastes good, but it is definite heart attack country. Coming up next year on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Best Snicker Bar.
Phil Hendry.
Do you knock it off with a Snicker Bar?
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And it's time now for our food segment here. Yes, our food segment. And the reason why I'm calling it the food segment is because these are actually stories having to do with things you consume. Now, one of the stories having to do with the state fair food is actually not that bad. They call it the State Fair Food Hall of Shame. But it's not like, as I mentioned last night, the funky places, the ballparks with the bad food service. That I'm not talking about, you know, getting dysentery. This is just food that's going to put all kinds of fat on your ass. How about that? And if you think that's fun, if you think that's a kick and a half, if you think that's the way to live life, then you will not want to miss our segment on how to get your fat ass out to the State Fair to, you know, suck down some more Spam curds. Spam curds?
Man, that sounds good. There's no way that don't sound good.
Are you kidding me?
I don't even know what that is.
You don't want to know what that is. But first, this just in, New York's crappiest cup of coffee is also its most expensive. Now, this, what I'm about to tell you, is absolutely true, although it is written in a rather juvenile fashion by the New York Daily News, naturally. Because why? Well, because this is coffee that is made from coffee beans that have been swallowed by a civet, which is a kind of a cat, a kind of a wildcat. And then they pick through the feces of the civet and they pull out the coffee beans because the stomach acid of the civet makes a very smooth brew and they make a cup of coffee out of coffee beans that a cat crapped.
That's pretty funny if you think about it for a while.
Yeah, well, you just keep thinking about that, bud.
Yeah, keep thinking, man.
What are you talking about? You don't think that's funny?
Not really, no. I don't,
Can the cat crap out a coffee bean? Can I have a crap bean? Are you kidding me?
Can I have a what?
What do you call it?
If the cat crapped out the... What do you call it? You call it a crap bean, right?
Not a crap bean. I didn't call it anything. It's called, what it's actually called is a Kopi Luwak. And it's a $30 to $65 cup of coffee. It's made from beans collected from the droppings of a small cat-like mammal called a civet. The Java, often called cat poo coffee. Oh, to hell, it's often called cat poo coffee. Where do they call it that, in Indonesia?
You probably don't know what that means.
Or whatever Indonesian is for cat poo. It isn't everyone's cup of tea and was nearly banned in Indonesia this month for being unsanitary. Nearly, but not quite. Some New Yorkers, though, are saying bottoms up. Because even though they may be banning it in a place called Indonesia because it's unsanitary, that ain't stopping New York. You know, the Indonesians think this is unsanitary. Is that right? Yeah. Well, it's perfectly legal in New York. Oh, yeah. Some New Yorkers, though, are saying bottoms up to the strange brew. At coffee shops like Puerto Rico in the West Village, the orders come from about once a week, according to owner Pete Longo. At first, I did not want to take it on, said Longo. I thought it was kind of dirty because of where it comes from. Basically, a cat's ass. He didn't say that. I did. The pricey coffee originated in Indonesia and the Philippines, where folks noticed that the civets eating coffee berries collected their droppings and picked out the beans. Coffee consultant Michael Peter, I kid you not, of Tamp Tamp Coffee Lab in New York said the cat's stomach acids produce a smoother tasting brew. How do you know that, Peter? Because somebody told you, some Indonesian told you that, huh? And he also said, I think it's unsanitary, but for New York, perfect. Westerners took note and began exporting the Kitty Poo Joe stateside in the last few years, like Westerners will do, because if it's unique. You know, I'm going to tell you something. This is a true story. Well, I better not. Because I don't know, I don't have any idea who our sponsors. Do we have any beer sponsors? Look that, before I tell the story.
Okay.
Westerners took note and began exporting the Kitty Poo Joe stateside in the last few hours, in the last few days, in the last few years, in the last few months. The Daily News bought a quarter pound of the pre-digested Joe and offered some to city coffee drinkers alongside a sample of Ethiopia Michelle, a fruity-flavored coffee that goes for about $3.50 a cup. The Daily News obviously doing a comparison test. Peter, who had studied the coffee's origins but had never tasted it, blended 20 ounces and took a sip for the first time. It tastes earthy, musty. Yeah, I'll bet it tastes musty. We don't have any beer sponsors? Okay. I try to be partial, but when I think where it comes from, I can smell the feces, Peter said, because I got that kind of a mind. You know, I can't get it out of my mind. I can't get it out of my mind, he said. It's not that I don't like it. It's not that I would not want to have it. But when I think of it come out of a cat's butt, you know, I can't, you know, I can't do anything. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. Yeah, we understand, Peter. Just go back inside, man, and count the bags of coffee, will you? Bob Lieberman, age 28, a coffee shop manager from Williamsburg, Brooklyn, was turned off after the first sip because Bob can't get that out of his mind either. It has a dirty taste. It tastes just like a cat's rear end. How do I know that? Don't ask, said Bob. Mona Shamali and her husband Ian Atkins, both 31 from Hell's Kitchen, proved their true coffee aficionados by sampling a mug. I definitely like the Kitty Poo coffee better, Shamali said, but then I am from Hell's Kitchen. Her husband, a real dumb Irishman, wasn't planning to shell... I'm just kidding, it doesn't say that. Her husband wasn't planning to shell out cash for it, though. I'll drink it free, Atkins said. With that price, I don't see adding cat poop coffee to my kitchen shelves anytime soon, he said with a chuckle, and then limped off. Well, there you go. So anyway, years ago, okay, I'm sitting down in Florida, and I'm down in Orlando, Florida. Now, believe it or not, in the early 1970s, in the early 70s and before, Coors Beer, not Coors Light, but the Coors Beer that comes in the sort of copper-colored can, was not sold east of the Rockies. You could not buy Coors in the eastern half of the United States. You could only buy it out here in California, the West. Now, like all things that are in short supply, naturally the rumor took and began to spread back east that Coors beer, oh, baby, you got to have yourself a Coors. This stuff is something else, man. Oh, yeah. Really? What? It's Coors beer. Oh, yeah, it's Coors. So when I left Florida to come back to California for a few months, what did everybody say to me? Phil, bring back some cases of... Yeah, okay, yeah. Everybody, one thing you knew, if you were going back to California back in the early 70s from back east, you were going to go back to visit, you were going back to, you know, do whatever you're going to do, but you were coming back, you got to bring back cases of Coors. And friends would get off the plane with cases of Coors, and cats would get out of their cars with cases of Coors, right? And so in that period of time until they started selling Coors nationally, and you might want to look that one up, Bud, or Jace, when did they start selling Coors nationally? Coors was considered to be just the creme de la creme. Now, of course, today, with microbrews and with all of these different varieties of beer and ale and stout, and we've really turned into a country of we're beginning to get sophisticated. I'm not saying that we're anywhere near the Europeans when it comes to our taste in beers other than lager. Lager, Americans know what they like. We like a cold lager beer. That's our thing. That was brought to us by the Germans in the 1840s. That's what we got to love. That's what took off. Before the German immigration of the 1840s and 1830s, America was like England. We drank stout, and we drank the porters, and we drank that kind of stuff. We drank that thick, stout crap, right? I say crap with all due respect. And that's what we drank, and we had public houses, and we had that kind of a setup. And gradually America, you know, changed. And one of the things that happened was the Germans came to Milwaukee and St. Louis, where they are to this day, and they set up their breweries. And there was an old man named Anheuser. Now, his daughter got married to a guy named Bush. But Anheuser was a printer. He wasn't in the brewery game. He was a guy that was in the printing business, I believe, or he had some kind of a manufacturing concern. And somebody owed him money, and the guy couldn't pay in cash, but he turned over a brewery that he had. And Anheuser, he didn't know anything about brewing beer, but he had this new son-in-law named Bush who did. Old man Anheuser was from Germany. His son-in-law was an American. And so the two of them put their noggins together, and the next thing you know, Bud Light. There you go, man. 100-some-odd years later, party animal. And the same thing happened in Milwaukee when the Schlitzes and all of those guys, the Labatts and the Blatts, all those guys went to Milwaukee. Plank Road, Milwaukee. Plank Road. That's the road, man. That's the brewery road in Milwaukee. And that's what our German immigrant friends did when they came to the States. And, of course, when World War II broke out, many of them went back to Germany to serve with the fatherland. I'm kidding.
Yeah, bitch, that's true, though.
Some of them, not all of them. Anyway, make a long story short. So everybody thought, Coors, man, you got to have Coors. Oh, yeah. So I'd come back with a Coors. I finally said to them, you know, I don't think Coors is any better than... You fake yourself in it. You think, oh, man, I haven't had a Coors in so long. And you come back to California, and I'd pop that first Coors, and I'd swear to God, I'm drinking just the most... The purest, most beautiful tasting beer I've ever had in my life, right? But you suddenly realize that the attraction was not so much the taste or the flavor or the quality of the beer as that it was just rare and you didn't have it. And I look back on those days now. I'm not saying Coors is a bad beer. I don't drink it myself, but then I'm not a beer drinker anymore. I'm strictly a tequila drinker. But I would not say that Coors was so great that people would be pressing, hundreds of dollars into your hands, you know, as you were getting on the plane. You got to bring me back some Coors. And I'll get it for you, man. I mean, geez, y'all, really. So that was where that was at. You know, Coors beer was supposed to be a beautiful thing. Now, I don't know whether or not Coors, I don't know when they started selling it nationally.
Well, yeah, I've never heard about it not being sold no place else.
Do you drink that stuff?
I do.
You drink the... What do you drink, though?
I drink Silver Bullet.
Oh, God.
Yeah, see?
You drink it, too, man. I've seen you drink it.
You drink that crap, too?
Well, not like as much as he do.
Not as much as he do?
Man, you are dumb. Really dumb, man. I mean, you say you look at C and you know you drink it.
I just don't drink as much as you do.
In 1939, Coors distributed in 10 Western states for the very first time. And then later on, they started selling that stuff nationally. But like I said to you, it was interesting, man. And I didn't know this until I left California as a kid, and I began to live in other parts of the country. And the first place we moved to was Florida, and that was the first thing I heard was, "Oh, wow, you guys have Coors beer? Yeah. What about it? Well, the next time you come back, bring some because we don't have it out here. And here's what we do drink." And what I was drinking down in Florida was, what the hell was I drinking? Dixie, Jack's. And my first taste of Old Milwaukee at 99 cents a sixer.
Yeah! Bitchin'!
99 cents for a six-pack of Old Milwaukee. In 1981, distribution began going to the eastern states. There you go. Okay, 877-876-PHIL coming back with more. And we'll wrap up here. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. 1 in 5 Californians say they need mental health care. Believe that, man. Plus, your smartphone app is watching you. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
I'm watching it now.
Hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL, what?
He said that these people cut it off.
They did, man.
What are you guys watching, Heaven's Gate?
Yeah.
They did.
No, they did. Are you telling me all them people did?
All of those people castrated themselves, yes. He's watching the Heaven's Gate special on TV.
What? That's insanity, man. How? Well, you tell me that they cut it off and put on a purple suit?
They didn't put on a purple suit, man. They put on like a purple, like, what do you want to call it? What do you call it?
A purple cloak or something, man. They cover themselves in purple.
What do you mean they cover themselves in purple? Did they cut it off themselves or they had another guy cut it off?
I don't know, man. I'm just telling you, these people at Heaven's Gate they castrated themselves.
Then they put on a purple suit.
But that doesn't look like a purple suit, man. It's a purple cape.
What are them shoes?
Nikes.
What, is that part of the religion for it to be Nike?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, man, I mean, I can't believe you never heard about it.
You're lying that they...
Bud, we're not lying. These people were psycho, weird people, okay? Do you understand? They were a cult, man.
Well, yeah, but when they put on a Nike in a purple outfit...
Well, they're weird asses, man. What do you want? What do you want me to say? They're freaking weird asses. These cats believed in some weird thing. They castrated themselves. They wore Nikes. Am I lying? Do you see that on TV?
Yeah, but he's telling me a bunch of stuff that's probably not true about it.
No, I swear to God, man. You listen to Phil. He's telling the same thing.
But I don't know what he told you.
He said that they put on a purple outfit and then they cut it off.
They did, man. That's exactly what they did.
Why? I don't understand why.
Bud, do you want to look in? You know what you should do, man? Look into the philosophy of all these cults, okay? They don't, not a one of them makes any sense. They're all messed up. The people are all jacked up that join them. They're all a bunch of people that believe in, you know, like following Jim Jones, man. Remember when we were talking about that?
Yeah, well, that Jim Jones is out of his mind.
Well, no kidding, man. Well, all of these cats are out of their minds. You got to be out of your mind. And they follow these guys, like that one guy that you just saw there.
Yeah, what's his name?
His name's like something like, what was it, Robert?
Like Johnny Appleseed or Applegate or something like that.
Okay, now I know you're lying.
No, it wasn't like Johnny Appleseed. It was more Applegate, right?
Yeah.
His name is Applegate. And anyway, they castrated themselves. They put on those Nike shoes. They wore those stupid-ass costumes. They shaved their head off. And they covered themselves in purple. And they committed suicide. And did you tell them about Hale Bopp?
Yeah, that's the part. If you're going to tell me that a man's going to get on a comet and fly away, brother, you better go knocking on someone else's door.
I'm only telling you what I already know about it.
They did, man. They believed that they could get on Hale Bopp and fly off into wherever the hell, right?
How are you going to do that if you're going to cast, if you take it off?
What? What do you mean, how are you going to do that?
Well, I mean, if you're going to die.
I don't know, bud. Do you understand? I don't know. Do you understand that you have to be seriously emotionally disturbed? That you have to be damaged? You don't necessarily have to be crazy. But you've got to be damaged, man. You've got to be mentally damaged to be a part of any of this falderall, any of this jazz. To join up with Jim Jones, to join up with this jackass, to join up with any of these people, you have to be a damaged human being. So they castrated themselves, they put on Nikes, they,
Look at that, man.
Yeah, I'll put it.
You quit looking at her breasts, okay? You listen to me or not?
Yeah, but it's just the lady from the bear pit.
Yeah, I know, the lady from the bear pit. So they cut off their, wow, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, so they cut off their, you know... And they put on their Nikes, and they put on their purple capes, and they committed suicide, and they thought that by committing suicide, they would be able to fly off on Hale Bopp, the comet. Now, don't ask me whether it makes sense. Don't ask me why they think that way. I don't know. But they're damaged human beings, and hey, maybe they think they're more highly evolved than the rest of us, and maybe they are. Maybe they are.
Are you? Oh, yeah, right. So you think they're better than you are?
I don't know, bud. I know they don't belong here. I know that we've constructed a society that goes just a certain way, and we kind of go this way. And cats that want to castrate themselves and wear purple suits and fly off on Hale Bopp, they're going this way. And everybody else is going that way. So those cats that are going that way, man, are definitely going the wrong way. That's the only thing I can tell you.
Well, I look at it, man.
That's the craziest thing that I ever heard. And look at that guy's bald-headed, too.
That's another bald-headed guy. That freak is probably a part of their group. All of them are just, like, gone, man. All right. State Fair Food Hall of Shame. Walking the midway of a fair or carnival is meant to be a fun family event, but nutritionally speaking, it's more of a haunted house. When the menu options include things like deep-fried candy bars, cheese on a stick, and cotton candy, it shouldn't come as a surprise that a day at the fair can quickly turn into a healthy eater's nightmare. Here are some of the unhealthiest fair foods going. Deep-fried candy bars. Wow. Fairs have a tendency to take something that's already too sweet, deep-fried, and add sugar on it. Does a Snickers bar with nearly 29 grams of sugar really need more sugar sprinkled on top? According to the Consumerist, one of these has around 700 calories. And why does that sound good?
It sounds pretty good to me.
A deep-fried Snickers bar. It does. It sounds good. Giant turkey legs. Turkey is a healthy way to get your protein fix, but when it's deep-fried and served with skin, in a humongous portion, it's not doing you any favors. In fact, just one is estimated to have more than 1,100 calories. That's equivalent to 5 corn dogs, a giant turkey leg. Deep fried butter, oh, please. What kind of a pig have you got to be, man?
Well, what do you do with it?
I guess it's fat, it's dipped in dough, and it's fried in fat. There's no official calorie count on this one, but keep in mind that before it's battered and deep fried, a stick of butter has about 800 calories and 88 grams of fat. What the hell do you do with a deep fried stick of butter? Deep fried macaroni and cheese. Mac and cheese is a once in a while treat as is. Fry it in fat, it becomes a once in a lifetime, but preferably never kind of treat. With an estimated 610 calories, it's not the most fattening food on the list, but it's still one to avoid. Spam curds. Oh, here we go. A hit at the Minnesota State Fair. Why did I know? Spam curds are basically spam and cheese nuggets that are deep fried. Oh, and they're topped off with a ranch sauce, as if you needed it. I'm hungry now.
Oh, man, I'm going to throw up.
Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Charles Wagon, and, of course, our screener and associate producer Dan Northcraft. Later and greater, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry.